This is Leicester Stories, bringing you reports and discussions from Leicester, where everyone has a story to share. Follow us at leicesterstories.uk, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Lex Stories.
So I'm AD Alexander, and I am the project manager for Beta X. And today we're just doing a little podcast, just a conversation between a group of people. I'm going to introduce the people now around the table. So if we start with you, Rob.
Hello, I'm Rob Watson. I do stuff around community media, Leicester Stories, Decentered Media, and podcasting type things.
Thank you. And we've got Emma, who is around the table. She's just listening in at the moment. And we've got Sunny.
Hello, I'm Sunny, student Sunny. I am currently at university and I work in a secondary school.
Next we have Andre.
Hi, my name is Andre. I am from Bermuda, just moved to Leicester. I am a portrait photographer and videographer.
And finally we have Taryn.
Hi, my name is Taryn. I'm currently just working and doing art and photography in my spare time.
Oh, fantastic. So we've got a lovely bunch here today. And this is actually my first podcast too. So I hope you're very kind with me today. So what I wanted to talk about was, with it being Black History Month, I wanted to just sort of find out what people's experiences were within the arts or any sort of work environment, really, just to sort of share experiences in a positive way and see where the conversation goes. So, I mean, I think what I'll do first of all is pass it over to Rob to just say a little bit of something about that.
Gosh, that, you put me on the spot. For podcasting and for conversations and discussion, I think it's really important that we have a space to have open discussions and conversations rather than them being predetermined, defined in advance as to what they should be about. And it's a great way to explore and bring forward people's experiences and to look at issues in the way that they're interconnected, and that we learn from each other, and that we, as you know, in a kind of respectful engagement where we listen. And I think it serves the, you know, it serves a really great need for development of our ideas and to look at things of where things might be going in the future, rather than maybe just repeating what we've understood from the past and asking those kind of open questions.
Cheers, Rob. Thank you. So, first of all, I think I'd probably like to just ask if anyone has any sort of experience that they would like to share initially regarding the sort of challenges that have been faced throughout maybe your artworks or your school teachings or your photography. I know that's all the fields that you're all in. So maybe if we start with Sunny, Sunny, what have you sort of come across anything? I know you're a positive person anyway, but if you want to share something with us.
Yeah, sure. So I study social science. I'm super interested in what people think, why they think it. I'm interested in trying to solve social issues together. Working in a school, I would say I've experienced a lot of people feeling a certain type of way about expressing their emotions and what their opinions are. And I think as a community, we need to empower each individual to have the confidence to say what they think without fear and judgment of other people, because we are all different and we've been through different experiences that shape our consciousness and our minds and our souls. And if we can't come together and try to talk about certain issues and how we can progress forward, then our society will eventually regress. We're not going to if we don't fix the situation today as a community, then there's going to be no future for us, because we're just going to keep going back to certain things because we're scared to give that opinion.
When you say fix the situation, what exactly is it that you're kind of referring to?
So I would say one of the social issues that I've noticed is people are unable to express how they think a situation can be solved because they're scared that other people are going to paint them with a type of brush, and they don't want that to stick. So they would rather not say anything than actually give their genuine, honest opinion. And I think that's a very sad thing, because as a community, as a society, we are the ones that know what the problems are, because we live it, we breathe it, we understand it. So it's most likely that we probably know how to solve it. But if no one's talking to each other because of X, Y, and Z, then how can we move forward?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So, I mean, Leicester, obviously we're in Leicester. Leicester is a very diverse city. You know, you've got so many different cultures in Leicester. And I mean, what do you think to that as sort of people? When you say situations, are you talking about situations between the different groups of people, or, you know, is it as a collective?
Yeah, I think that there are pockets of communities living in Leicester, and it is diverse because of those pockets of communities. But if one community meets another community, it's been shown in the news and Leicester drama that they can't get along. So why is that? Why can't a community of people that understand each other's needs, why can't that community communicate with other communities? There's no bridge in between. As a society, we're living in little pockets, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that to some sort of respect, but I think with the different communities, it needs that crossover between the people, doesn't it? So, yeah. You know, you have a group of people getting together, mm-hmm. like we are now,
yeah,
and we're all from different places.
But I mean, like, even us sitting here, we're a community. We probably think the same thing about certain things. We like art. We like, you know, people that like art are, in my opinion, are a type of people. They probably engage in the same social activities as each other. They probably can talk about the same topics as each other. If I was to sit with somebody that wasn't into art, maybe somebody that was business orientated, so they were constantly working, they probably wouldn't understand some of the abstract ideas that I'm trying to talk about, because in their world, they're running off statistics. Nothing wrong with that. We need rich people. We need people with jobs and businesses. But in my opinion, if somebody that is in that kind of circle, how can they understand what I'm saying? So there needs to be some type of bridge, or not even bridge, just the space for people to feel like they can communicate with each other.
I think, if we have more groups, almost like networking groups, and offer those out to the communities to sort of join and share and become one, because really there's no real reason why we need to be in these different pockets. You know, you do tend to gravitate to your type of people. So if you eat a certain type of food, or you need to go to a certain type of shop that sells that food, then you end up kind of, for ease, you end up being in a particular area. I mean, I don't know what Andre, your thoughts are on this, because I know you're new to Leicester and you're from Bermuda. So I'd like to hear sort of anything that you've got to say on that as well.
Well, moving to the UK, I've been to UK twice. So, and for me, I think it's more diverse than any other country that I have been to, especially in the arts. is very more diverse. It's, in Bermuda, it's like, it's closed. It's like a closed market for diversity in the arts. It's great in the school industry, like in schools, but when you get older, you're not very that supported in the arts, because you have to do it yourself or network or somebody that you know. Normally with people, especially for photography, they know somebody. Me, I am very to myself and don't go that much.
And you're a photographer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And it's very hard for me, was hard for me to socialize. With that,
I mean, it must be difficult. It's sort of, you come over to Leicester from Bermuda, and you're kind of having to meet new people and friends and things like that. Have you kind of gravitated to any particular area?
What I have gravitated to is basically more of the countryside. I'm a countryside type person. So, being in the city is very draining, especially for me. A few days ago, I went to King Power Stadium to do some footage of the fans. And I walked there. I was quite fine. Then leaving the stadium, heading back home, I felt drained. Felt really drained. Then I was thinking to myself, Leicester's been losing a lot of games lately, and I was wondering, it could be the power lines, the power cell power station there, because it's sucking out everybody's energy, and it's a perfect place to put a stadium to take people's energy away from. So I went there again, went to B&M around there yesterday, and took my wife, and walking back home, she said she felt tired as well. So it's like, yeah, my theory is correct. But especially with the countryside, since I've been here in the UK, I've been in Limburg for about 3 months. Technically, I am a British overseas territory citizen, and came to Bermuda because my wife had a job offer in Reading. Under the one of the big four companies. But the week before we were supposed to get on the plane, they flagged her for her immigration, her passport. So we was running around figuring out what to do before we left. Called immigration, passport, office, with our concierge that was helping us to move to the UK. And we did our own research. With our own research is that anybody that's from a British Overseas Territory citizen or country, they have automatically are British citizens. And it stated that on the government website, and Bermuda's listed second on that list out of 8 countries.
So you didn't need the passport.
I didn't need the passport. So we was upset with the concierge that we booked, used to, you know, get to Bermuda because of a Bermudian company, and they help local Bermudians to travel to the United Kingdom. And they said everything was okay, but especially with our passports and everything like that there, and that fell through. So we came here, and we've been waiting. When we hit the grounds in the UK, we applied for a UK passport. So we've just been going to Airbnbs all over the place. Then luckily, I'm grateful that I have a relative that's here in Leicester and offered us to stay with him and his family. So
in the country?
In the UK. And our passports came. Before my passport came, the HM passport said, are you getting your fresh British passport or are you renewing your British overseas passport? Stating that any overseas territory of in May 24th, 2002 automatically becomes a British citizen. So we got this letter like, You serious?
So you sorted with the passport now?
Sorted with the passport.
Where, when you said you were living down in Reading, you moved to Leicester, and you moved to an area in Leicester that is kind of a bit more in the country, or is it,
no,
is it in the cities?
Just technically it's about 45-minute walk from the cities. It's from the city centre. Okay. At the moment, that's where I'm staying, but we're looking to live out. My wife and I are looking to live out once we get settled and also get income to. Okay.
So where you're staying now, is it quite a diverse area or is it a predominantly?
It's very diverse. It's very diverse. It's very eye-opening. So you got like different communities there, but it's spread out.
Okay. So I'm interested in something with yourself. Being, when you were in Bermuda and you were a photographer in Bermuda, I'm guessing that there would have been a lot more people of colour, more black people than other, yes, other kind of races. Did that, the question about sort of any sort of challenges in the arts or in work or anything like that, did you, I guess you're not really looking at colour as an option when you're there if you, everyone is predominantly black?
I didn't look, when I was young, I didn't look, see anything, I didn't see color when I was young. I was, say, born in Bermuda. Say, 4 years old, I traveled to the United States. My mother was in going to college in the States, in Virginia. And we stayed with my grandfather and also then moved out with our own apartment. Like, I had friends all colors. I think when I came back to Bermuda, that mindset changed. I think, say, going to public school system and private school and high school, I was basically around black people. And that almost poisoned me. So that technically, that did give me poison. 'Cause when I went to back to overseas to, you know, to do personal training school, and I came back and trying to apply for jobs to be a personal trainer in gyms, and I used that race card all the time. And yeah, because especially with personal training, a lot of the gyms were bringing in expats and not you hiring locals. And that was a challenge in that area. Then once I got into the gym, I was treated horrible, really horrible. Then I worked at gym for about 3 years. And it's like, yeah, it's time to leave. Then I went into hospitality.
Okay, and so then the photography came on board.
The photography came on board after, technically I bought the camera to do some personal training videos. Then I got dive right into the technical parts of photography. And it brought me some old passion when I was in high school. I was a photographer that was a substitute teacher, was there for a short period of time. And he was teaching photography. And I took one of the cameras. He lent me the school cameras. And I fell in love with camera. I fell in love with the camera. And I was like the only, I think it was a lot of 10 students was supposed to be there, and I was like the only one that was in the class that showed up every time.
You must like telling a story, because the photographer is always the person who likes to capture,
yeah,
a time. And you know, you've not exhibited any work here in B2X, have you, at the moment?
No. Looking to.
Cool. Okay. I mean, we've got Taryn with us. Taryn is an artist. Oh, yeah, Taryn, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, and I know you've currently got some work in B2X.
I do, yes, just around the corner. I'm currently a full-time working, but I like to do painting and photography in my spare time.
Your paintings, I must say, are absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
Thank you. They're literally behind us right now. And the one of Bob Marley,
I just can't get over it.
How the hair looks so real as well, everything about it. And had so many comments on it too.
Yeah, when I do a painting, I mix up the style. So sometimes I do more realistic, sometimes I do a bit more surreal. But every painting I do is new for me because I'll always try different techniques, different paints as well. And yeah, just I like to experiment and see what works best for me, what looks good on a canvas. And yeah, so I'm always developing.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of your work, to be honest. Mm. Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you.
So when you've been, so through your journey, I know you're kind of just starting out really.
Yeah.
You've done your course. Which course did you do, sorry?
I did art and photography at college.
Okay. So within that, have you found any challenges that you would, you kind of think, well, you know, I've had to do this, or I've had to dumb this down a certain way so I could be accepted, or, you know, is there anything that you think, well, it'd be nice if we could do these things differently?
I mean, I think definitely being in a school or college environment, I think everyone felt a bit restricted with what they could put out there art-wise, because first of all, you want to keep it school friendly, but also, like, you can't, sometimes you might feel with art it's a very good way of expressing things, but if you make a piece of art which expresses something you're feeling but not many people can relate to, or it can be quite controversial. So I think definitely now that I'm out of college, I can just do whatever I want, and you can really, really express yourself, and there's no boundaries. And yeah, I think definitely it was very restrictive back during my course.
So did you sort of not do certain types of work because of it? Is there any one in particular that you think, oh, I would have loved to have done that, but I couldn't?
I'd say maybe, well, when I did a lot of quite simple paintings, and I think a lot of it was also time. You're like being timed, you've got all the exam regulations. And so I think if anything, I would have liked to just done a lot more different variety of artwork, instead of just having to stick to one. Mm. But I don't know, I can't say there's really one specific that really stands out.
So it's not, you're saying it's not something that you've been restricted for, wanting to do something of colour, to do with black people or anything like that. It's more just restrictions in time for your work, or is that what you're saying? Or?
A bit, yeah, but I didn't really, I'm not sure if anyone did focus on like heritage or race or anything in their artwork. But I think maybe if they did do a whole like half a year of just paintings of like black people and their background, maybe then being judged as a piece of artwork, the examiners might have been a bit more, I don't know, they might have had a different viewpoint and would stop seeing it as skills and start making it quite political in the way, even though it's just kids, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's always important having people who you feel that you can relate to, that look like you, that are in positions that, you know, you see as good positions. So to have someone who is, I don't know, your colour, or just maybe shares your views, it doesn't have to be colour, in those positions, and then that sort of empowers you to do what you know, to go forward with it further, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely in the media, what you see definitely can influence yourself. And like you say, if you're surrounded by people who look like you, share your interests, then it definitely brings you out your shell a bit more as well. So yeah.
So I mean, I'd like to ask how we think we could perhaps put some things in place or say things with other people that would encourage more of this, more more socially sharing time with people who are from the different backgrounds and being, so the diversity is kind of diluted, but still there, if that makes sense. So, I mean, what do you think to that, Rob?
I wonder, and I'm not sure how to express this, is that we maybe focus, it might be a bit provocative, controversial, but sometimes we focus too much on diversity for the sake of it. And it becomes like everybody's terrified. I think it was something that Sunny said earlier. You kind of become terrified because you're not focusing on, you're doing things for different types of people. And that in a way doesn't ask what the common questions, common experiences are, what we share. And what we share, what emerges in society now is something new, something different than when a lot of these ideas were first formed. So how can we use our media? Or, I mean, one of the examples, are, you know, I think that Beta X, for example, is a really great space, and the way that you've facilitated it, AD, is a really great space for this fluid, dynamic bringing together of different artists, designers, groups around the city, which we need more of. And it, what it doesn't do is it doesn't say we are one thing, we are just about this, and we're not about anything else. It's kind of like, you just, forgive me if I'm wrong in saying this, but, and you can correct me, but it's like, can we grab everything? And can we put every, you know, a bit of everything in the space? Because in that process, something comes out of it which is new and something which is emergent. So one of the challenges, I think, is to, the danger with a kind of some of the fashionable theories about identity at the moment are very much backward looking, and they're not forward looking in terms of thinking, well, we've got this. I mean, the analogy that might be worth thinking about, it's like kind of Leicester's like a bowl, and what you're dropping into it is marbles. And as you add more marbles, those existing marbles get displaced and moved around. And eventually people feel as if they're being pushed out. But what we need is to make those marbles soft and permeable, like, I don't know, gummy bears, and that they become something new in the process, and that they merge and integrate together. Not that they're not aware of where they've come from, but there's a sense of where they're going, which is they're going to become something else. And so kind of creative spaces that we need, like BetaX, that kind of really promote that sense of the step forward into the journey of becoming, not simply defining ourselves by who we were, but saying, you know, what's it going to be like in the future? For me, that's kind of where I'd hope things move forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think with regarding to the space in BetaX, you're exactly right. I have put things in here and wanted to get things in here that are not any one particular thing. So if you come in here, like right now, it is advertised as Black History Month, but there's not just work in here for Black History Month. It's nice to be able to come into a space and see other things, and you might come to see one particular thing and then get exposed to something else. And that is part about the learning about other people. And that's the way I think that we need to live together and just, you know a bit about everyone. Okay. Sunny, sorry.
Yeah, so going back to what Rob said about being like a collective and individual, I think we need to, as a society, really establish some basic foundations. And I think that we are both collective and individual, because both things, your personal experience shapes you, as well as the collective experience shaping you. You know, I'm not going to be Sunny if I was born in Kenya, in Matwapa. I visited Matwapa and Mombasa. I'm not going to have the same thinking or physical appearance if I'm born in that environment compared to if I'm born here. So that it is a fact where you are born will shape you in some way. Okay? So we understand that we're individualistic and we have our own communities. Indians have their communities. We have Black History Month. But we also need to understand that we are also a collective. We're also a collective. So it's important to establish that, because we need to understand that we're collective, because in regards to politics, we all want to be on the same kind of page. We don't want to be overworked and underpaid, because that won't benefit us individually and it won't benefit us as a collective. So what we really need to establish is, okay, we have pockets of communities, that's fine. Everybody needs community and we all need each other. And we all need something to believe in that we can all agree on. But we also need to remember that we are all humans, and we're, especially in this society and the economy at the minute, we need to understand that we're also a collective, and to solve social issues must come from the society in which is having the problems. You can't solve, in my opinion, you can't solve social issues from, you know, the Prime Minister, you know, the Prime Minister of Kenya can't solve the issues of Leicester. So why are we going to listen to him? We need to listen to each other. And you've done an amazing job of creating a place where people can come and just talk about their ideas and debate what they think and update their thinking, because that's what we need to do. As a human being, we need to learn and grow, or we're never going to progress, we're going to regress.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Anything to add to that, Andre?
My thing, to evolve a society, we have to start with ourselves first. Because from our experience, we hold that. We were good, and every time we have bad experiences, we put clay on ourselves. And to connect with everybody, we have to work on ourselves spiritually first. Then once you let go of those bad experiences, that's when everybody can, you can share yourself or open up to other people, be more vulnerable to be yourself around other people. And some people are in this day and age, people are afraid to open up and share their experience because they don't know the outcome or the judgment or the, what's another one was?
Yeah,
shunned from the society, especially in Bermuda. Me, I'm a different thinker from the Bermudians. And because I think differently, they think I'm weird. So, yeah, it's just work on yourself first, then you help other people. And that's, for me, that's what my process is as well. And also live by example. Because if you work on yourself first, then you broadcast it to the world, then everybody will be like, hey, I want to live like that person. And I have a few people, especially in the regiment. I used to serve in the Royal Bermuda Regiment, part of the British Army. And there's a sergeant that comes up, a few sergeants and corporals will come up. Corporal Place, I want to be just like you. I say, hey, but you want to be like me? I don't know, I just want to be just like you. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think what you said there, regarding the being able to express yourself and fully express yourself, I think that is something that we do need to try and do more of, because I always feel that you're trying to, when you speak to someone, obviously you've got to feel comfortable with them, but a lot of the time there's so much dumbing down that's being done. So you could be speaking to someone and they're scared to share their views. They're scared to tell you exactly how they feel because, you know, is it politically correct to say this? Is it politically correct to say that? Mm. You know, it's not really, you're holding back, and it'd be nice to not do that and, you know, everyone sort of be able to say a bit more what they feel.
Yes, yes. Because if you're not open with yourself and with others, you're going to just incubate diseases within yourself. Because not being open, or one of the books I was reading, is that the experience that you, the things that you experience every day, if you don't release them, you're just going to have long-term effects to your body. If you suffer from, say, trust issues normally comes from the heart. And later on, if you still have that trust issues for the next 20 years or so, that's just going to hold and hold. Then once you know that you will have a stroke or heart attack, because all this energy you have built up in her, especially with all body parts. My wife and I have suffered, say, 5 miscarriages. And with that, she holds a lot of energy in that region, and I'm trying to help her to release the energy from her past, family issues, or any other issues, release it. And it will help you to heal. Help you to heal yourself, and help you to heal as a community with other people as well.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's like a real painful thing to share. I'm, you know, pleased you've shared that with us. Thank you. Taryn, so with regard to your next project and things like that, and what you're doing right now, is there anything that you want to add to sharing?
Well, usually when I do a piece of artwork or a photography shoot, it's usually ideas that just come in the moment, and I could, say, be walking in town and then I'll see something and I'll take a picture and then I'll go home and paint it and stuff like that. So at the minute, I've not got any plans for a next project, but I'm sure something will inspire me soon and I'll think, oh yeah, I know what to do next.
Sorry, a bit of traffic. Have you sort of immersed yourself in the things that have been around for Black History Month this month, or do you just generally just get on with life and just everything is as it is?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a pretty stick to myself and get on with life and then go with the flow, I guess. But yeah, I've definitely put in my artwork up here. I've tried to connect with Black History Month a bit more. But I don't like to stick to themes or really current trends and stuff. It is really just whatever I am feeling and what inspires me.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever makes me feel creative. Yeah.
That's the way you should be.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, is there anything anyone wants to add any further? Sunny,
yes,
I think.
Yes, me. I can just talk for hours. I just wanted to go back to what you said about, Andre, about it's important to be open. One of the reasons I think it's important to be open, because the realm of possibility is infinite.
Yes.
The possibility of things is infinite, so why would you limit and close yourself to that?
Reason why is there's a taught behavior.
Okay.
It's really a taught behavior. I can show you an example. My mother, she wanted to be an architect. She loves drawing. When I was young, she had me when she was 20. She loves drawing and everything else. And her father said that you're not being an architect. You're not. And she just went to college to do, I don't know what it was. I was young. But she's been into reinsurance company for about 40 years. No, not 40, 20 years. And she's been there. It's a monotonous work being in a reinsurance company, especially in Bermuda. Because in Bermuda, it's like for me, I was told that, oh, you're not going to make no money out of photography in Bermuda. I was like, yeah, yes, I can. And I'm proving it. Even though it's going to be a struggle to get there, which you show people, but I'm proving myself first that I can do it, then prove other people that I can do it as well. With my mother's experience, it's like, she could have been happy being an architect this whole time, but yet she's being miserable being at an office every day. And she tells me, it's like, it's the same thing, it's nothing new.
Has that inspired you to sort of move forward further with the photography?
Yes, it has inspired me. Inspired me and her as well, because it's something different. Especially in Bermuda, it's basically work hard until you die. And that's it's the mentality that some of the Bermudians have, because especially with the baby boomers, they was working in hospitality, and some of them are still in hospitality up to 65 to 70. And they don't want to retire. Another thing is that you have furniture in government, and they've been there for about 40 years and should be on retirement as well. It's just basically a taught behavior, especially, like I said, in Bermuda. I have a friend that is a fashion designer, and her family gives a hard time because she's trying to do her passion, but she has to make money as well. And I told her on Instagram the other day, leave Bermuda.
Get out of there, man.
Because once you leave Bermuda, you have more opportunities, especially with people in the creative world, dancers, singers, artists. They have left Bermuda. For a better life.
So there's like less barriers here in the UK?
It's very less barriers here in the UK or even in the States, because you're not stunted about other people's beliefs and you're able to grow. And I think that's, it really strikes at home. It's like Bermuda is like small-mindedness. Because it's a small island there, and everybody's like back in, say, 1950s and just...
I mean, it sounds, I could be wrong, it sounds as though, you know, growing up, your parents always want you to do a good job. They want you to say, right, okay, you want to be a doctor. Okay, be a doctor. That's what you want to be. You want to be a doctor, or you want to be a scientist, or you want to be a lawyer, you know, but... I think more and more parents, as the generations go on in the UK anyway, parents are looking for their children just to be happy and do what they enjoy, and find a career in that, especially during, I don't know whether it's COVID that's helped with that as well, because they see people sort of wanting to just socialise a bit more because you've missed out on that. What do you think to that?
I don't think COVID has to do anything with it. I just think that the younger generation, my generation, and the ones younger are starting to be more open and realize, like, I don't want to be miserable like my parents or my grandparents. I want to be free. And so, yeah, that's happening now. I know for me, I'm from my mother's side, I am the oldest. Even from my dad's side, I'm the oldest. So, yes, it was... I always get judged or pushed hard from my parents, grandparents. And when my brother came, or my mom's side came along, the parenting style has changed. And he just went 18. So yeah, parenting style has changed where, oh, he wants to be a pilot. Okay, let him be a pilot. I'm going to pay for school for pilot. And me is like, I never had all this funding. I had to work straight out of high school. I started work when I was in high school. But I can't hold that. And it's just like, he wants to be a pilot, hey. And I was trying to tell my brother, like, why the States for? Why not come to the UK?
So, Taryn, what about you? You're a young person.
Yeah.
Your family, your mom and dad, or your family, do they support you in what you want to do? Is that
Yeah, my family's definitely really supportive. My parents and my brother, they're really, anytime I do a piece of artwork, they're like, wow, like, well done, like, they show everyone. Yeah, and actually last year I was in France for a year, and I think what Sunny was saying about depending on where you are depends on who you are, and I think it's really true, because when I was over there, it was a bigger city, there's lots of nice architecture, and it really helped me to, I think, connect with other young people with similar interests and really reach my full potential. And I think I came back and definitely knew I want to, like, become a full-time artist. And so I think, definitely for creative people, if you're ever struggling or don't feel maybe as creative, definitely a change in environment. It's really eye-opening, and just take some time to yourself and really get to know yourself and know what you want. It's like, yeah, it really changes you. But yeah, and so I'm just working towards my goal, because I'm only 19, so I have got a lot of time. But yeah, I definitely, my family is definitely behind me the whole way, and are like, do what you want, like, you're good at this, stick to this. If you want to go to France, go to France, like, do what's best for you. So yeah, it's definitely really good.
Fantastic. And when you're in France, I guess you're picking up, it's quite arty place, Paris, the Louvre, the Pompidou.
Yeah, I did visit places. Yeah. But I think where I was in Lyon, it was a lot less diverse, but I think the communities were made up of your interests. So you would have the artist, you would have the skaters or the music people. And I really liked that, because I think no one's seen anyone for their culture, background, colour. It really was just everyone, if you like this, stick with us and we'll all work together and become best at what we do. So I think, it's definitely different to Leicester in that way. Yeah.
So when you said that you went to France and you were inspired there, do you think that Leicester has that same effect? So say if you were in France coming to Leicester, do you think they would have that same effect where they feel like, wow, this, look at the architecture in Leicester, it's really inspiring place?
I think definitely, yeah, because I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter really about where you are, but it's definitely just a change can just help change your viewpoint. Because when I spoke to people over there, they'd say like, oh, they love England, and basically coming from England, they'd say all the opposite things.
Yeah,
and then cool. The stuff you'd say about like France, for example, they'd say like, oh no, we don't like it. So it's really interesting to see like we all have contrasting views of where we've come from.
Mm.
And I think it is because once you've been born and raised somewhere, it becomes very like mundane, and you're just, you stop seeing things like how someone who's seen it for the first time would see things. So I think, yeah, definitely a change of environment is important.
That's a bit like going on holiday, isn't it? You know, you go to a city and you think, wow, this place is beautiful, I love this place.
Yeah.
And you're not living there, but you're seeing all these things for the first time. And then you go to another holiday, another city, another break, and it's the same again. And maybe we just need to move around the world.
Yeah.
Yes, I get that a lot. Since I moved here, it's like, where are you from? From Bermuda. Why England?
I know, I was like, isn't that where people get lost?
Like,
well, Leicester.
Like, why England? It's cloudy, it rains. Bermuda's just too sunny. Yeah, blue skies basically almost all year round.
Yeah, I think like Leicester people, you get one day above 20 degrees and it's crazy out there. And then when I was in France, like, it's no one's leaving the house because it's too hot, it's too nice outside. So yeah, I understand, yeah.
There is fantastic listening to the experiences, and it kind of, there are different ways that you can model communities. One is communities of identity, but another is communities of interest. And I'm not sure that we put enough effort into, certainly in the UK, and certainly my experience here in Leicester, we're not investing enough in those creative communities of interest. What's the infrastructure that we've got in place? If you were trying to attract people to come to visit and stay in Leicester and to be part of to bring their skills to the city, I'm not quite so sure that it's high up on people's list of places that they would aspire to come to. But Lyon, Toulouse, places like that, they've got this kind of mystique about them, I suppose. And we kind of maybe need an attitude change, I think, in the way that we let that huge truck go past. But maybe the approach, we need to interrogate more this idea of what are our communities of interest, because they cut across identities and they should incorporate multiple layers of identities from different places, but around common ideas of expressions of creativity and the kind of what I think has been expressed really nicely today is the sense that it's a mindful form of being in the city. And you're right, it's absolutely right. It can be draining living in a city, and Leicester's particularly draining sometimes with its congestion and its pollution and those kind of things. Whereas we need to kind of let go of some of the things that we've built up over the years and become a new kind of space.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think what we've done today, the little chat, which has been really eye-opening, actually, and it's been lovely. It's been my first podcast.
Yeah, mine's too.
Oh, wow, okay. We're all first timers. But, yes, I'd like to thank you all for taking part, Sunny, Andre, Taryn, Rob, and Emma, for listening in. This is the B2X podcast. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Leicester Stories. If you want to find out more, follow us at leicesterstories.uk, find us on Facebook, or check us out on Instagram and Twitter at LexStories.